Hey guys, Keith Finch here. And with me again is Alex Sansone, as we still have Caleb stuffed in a locker. I mean, we'd never do that to Caleb. Why would we ever? Not
Seems like a
even
waste of space.
a little bit. Nope, he's still away doing stuff that he's having a great time doing. The very angry emojis in my text messages when I asked him how it was going definitely indicate the quality time he is spending with the Air Force right now. As always, guys, this episode of Gunday Brunch is brought to you by Guns.com and Taurus USA, Rossi and Heritage. Go check those guys out as they are good sponsors. And I'm going to keep that sponsorship request vague so as not to piss off the YouTube because we're going to try and get this episode on YouTube again. We'll see. Anyway, guys, I just got back from a vacation, and on that vacation, I did entertaining nerdy things, and that got me thinking on a specific topic. And that specific topic was, what is my favorite science fiction or fantasy world type sidearm, type firearm? What universe has some of the coolest firearms or firearm adjacent technology in it? And why do I think that? Or why do we think that? And then I proposed this topic to Alex and he got really giddy in the chat. So like it was a lot of fun to think about. So I'm gonna toss it to Alex for his first one and we'll see where our ADHD and autism take us. Alex, what is one of your favorites?
I'm going to go with the low-hanging fruit first, and starting off with Firefly. Now, Mira would almost be the obvious choice. Great backstory, banter between Jane and Mal about that Callahan full bore auto lock is just beautiful. But I'm holding out hope because that's not what I picked. I'm actually going with Mal's sidearm.
Wonderful
Because,
choice. That was a runner-up in mine.
yeah, number one, it's got that kind of loosely steampunky vibe that just perfectly fits the show. And it is a great accessory to the character. And I am now speaking this into reality. I'm like 85% sure that Caleb coming on with Taurus was just a long con to make that a production firearm sometime in the future.
We've sussed it out. We're putting it into the universe now. The sci-fi line from Taurus.
Mean, they've already started doing the vintage line with the Roscoe and some of the
Yep,
heritage stuff. So it
we've gone back. We can go forward too. We can absolutely go forward too. God, that would make an absolute just my God. That would sell a lot of guns. That would sell a lot
Wouldn't
of
it though?
guns in certain communities. Just like, yeah, mine's a firing replica that fires like 327 or 32 or something like that. Like, just it works. It works completely.
Let's make this happen in 2025.
I like it. I like it. Caleb, you've got a project. You don't know it yet, and that's delightful. All right, so mine, I was gonna go for a real low hanging fruit to start with too, but then I pivoted because I have to get this one out first. My favorite, absolute favorite firearm sidearm technology in any current IP has to be Mass Effect with the gravity acceleration small arms. The fact that they have the Mass Effect technology that'll shave a tiny little fraction of metal off of a in-block magazine that's just a hunk of metal with a little like replicator shaver that just goes, all right, we're gonna fire this next, and then it just accelerates it to an absurd velocity is one really cool. I love gravity. I love the concept of gravity drive weapons. And two, feels like it's something we could get to someday. We're already in early electromagnetic acceleration. So this is just that with the magic of like, oh, well, we technically want infinite ammo, so here's how we did it.
This feels like if the what was it the HKG 11 project, if that
Yeah.
was allowed to continue in just sort of funded off of nothing but like cougarams and cocaine. They would
Yeah.
eventually come to that.
Eventually, the G11 would have become the mass accelerator rifle and be throwing electromagnetically accelerated slugs at absurd speeds. And I just love that technology. On top of that, I love the technology because they also added the compact features, so the guns fold and become really tiny because they don't have a fixed part length as part of any of their systems, really. So they can fold and then they can unfold, and the mass driver, it just powers it. You have a barrel to as an acceleration length generator, and really, really cool technology. So I like the Mass Effect, the gravity drive weapons in Mass Effect, and those happen to be my absolute favorite because it feels technologically closer to something achievable. And it was something different than the classic just laser blaster or phaser of like the 70s, 80s, 90s, where light was a weapon. And we have that too. We have lasers too that are weapons. But gravity drive was like the physics of that was just, oh, that's really cool. So shout out to Mass Effect for going in a slightly different direction and being real, real fun there. So, Alex, what's number two? What's your next favorite sci-fi or fantasy weapon arc?
So this one is very likely going to make some people either roll their eyes or upset them. The original Men in Black. And again, you could go with those two big honking suckers that they pulled out of the trunk at the end of the movie. The noisy cricket seems like it would be the obvious choice for no other reason than the comic relief. And, let's be honest, we all want a Derringer with that kind of capacity. But
Yes.
for this one, I actually picked a, well, not currently, but an actual in production firearm, which was at the beginning of the movie, Will Smith's, it was a 30, 39, 13, the Lady Smith that he was
Yeah.
using. Because again, I don't know if it was this intentional, but for an undercover cop in New York in the 90s, that's a pretty spot on choice for a low profile undercover duty pistol.
Yeah.
It was either completely accidental or so subtly thoughtful that I really think it warrants the nod.
Yeah. It definitely warrants the nod. It definitely it's properly set, and when we get to one of mine later, I'll confirm this, but it's properly set in the universe, right? It's a conventional firearm. It's an in-production firearm, but it's set in the universe properly, and it sets the character for Will Smith's the tone of Will Smith's character very, very early on.
And it's interesting because previously I wouldn't have been nearly as receptive to that, but again, kind of pouring one out for the homies. I remember that we were having a conversation in one of our group chats with Jack about how the armors can really help flesh out a character based on how they're equipped. And so, it's some of those little details can really have a big impact on the overall sort of authenticity of the character.
They re and sometimes that is what can make or break how real a character feels, no matter the absurd rules that are inhabiting the world, right? The writers and the director get to set the rules of the world. But sometimes just those little details add just enough reality and just enough grounding to the setting that you're like, okay, I'm invested now. These feel like.
That's it. And that's it. 'Cause like after the scene where he, is chasing the first alien that he's introduced to, and he's getting debriefed in his in his station, bagging on the fat out of shape cop that couldn't keep up with him. This is a guy who clearly takes his job seriously,
Yes.
and he is carrying what it was effectively kind of a serious gunfighter's gun of the era.
Exactly.
So what you got for number two?
Number two, I'm going to take my low-hanging fruit here just because it's one I liked from the OT onward. I'm going to take the Stormtrooper's EE-11 blaster, which is just a chopped-up Sten gun, and I love it.
It
It's a lot.
wasn't even really that chopped up.
No, it's not even that chopped up. They're just like, five-round mag, that's fine.
Call it a battery pack.
Yep. They call it a battery pack. It holds 500 shots now instead of 5 of 9 millimeter. It'll be fine.
Sure.
It just the whole vibe there, actually, I really like the Star Wars aesthetic, the same way that Firefly's aesthetic with Mal's pistol and a lot of their firearms. The star While a lot of those are still projectile weapons, actually center fire guns. In Star Wars, they're blasters, but a lot of them are, modded off of old classic firearms that they've just, bolted some cool looking sci-fi stuff onto and have turned into a blaster rifle or a disintegrator or
Yep.
disruptor. And it just fits the world. Like, they set the tone early with Star Wars: A New Hope, and they've maintained that and been able to keep that aesthetic throughout. And that's a lot of fun because I like seeing when artists get really creative with what's available. Because obviously, at the time, surplus Sten guns were super, and this is actually common in movies. There, in some instances, surplus actual firearms are the cheapest thing to get, not props. Famously, Lord of War. One of the
Yes.
opening scenes in Lord of War, where they're just going past rack after rack after rack of, I think it's SDG 58s or VZ 58s. Yeah, VZ 58s. They just have racks and racks and racks of these things. They're all real. Those are all real rifles because it was cheaper than props. It was cheaper than props to just get racks and racks and racks of these surplus Cold War era rifles. They're just like, yeah, like 90 bucks, $99 a gun, man. Here you go.
I mean, the whole movie was predicated on, like, buying AKs by the shipping container.
Yeah.
So, it's art imitating life.
Yep. And it worked in the movie. So yeah, I've got to go with the classic firearms converted into blasters for Star Wars. I specifically like the Stormtroopers E11 series rifles because they're converted Stens. I remember, I think it was Star Wars, one of the games. It was one of the games where you start out, you're not a Jedi, you've lost your Jedi powers, and you generally run around with an E11 for most of that game until you get the powers back. Can't remember
I
the.
know. Was it? Was it Rogue Squad or?
It's not Rogue Squad. It was. It wasn't Knights.
Dark something.
No, I'd have to look it up, and it would take some, but. Just the beginning of the game, you're raiding like an old what was or what may still be a Imperial like fortress, and there are remnants or something like that.
Are you sure that's not Dark Forces? I think you're talking about Dark Forces.
I don't think it's Dark Forces,
Okay.
but it might be. But you're a former Jedi, and then you get your powers back, and you get your lightsaber, and then you become OP as fuck, and
Nice.
it's
No,
fun.
okay, yeah, no, that's a different one that I'm thinking of.
So yeah,
That was fun too.
Stormtrooper blasters. All right, number three, Alex.
So this one is like an extreme deep cut. I don't even know how many people are going to remember this one. After GoldenEye's popularity on the Nintendo 64, Rare decided that they wanted to capitalize on that with another first-person shooter, but they didn't really have, like, they didn't want to do another Bond property. So they came out with what was effectively GoldenEye reskinned with a
Oh,
female protagonist.
Perfect Dark. Oh my God.
Perfect Dark.
Yes.
That was the most, like, as fun as GoldenEye's multiplayer was, this one blew it out of the water. For number one, you can play it as a single player with bots. You didn't actually
Bob's.
have to, you didn't
Yeah.
actually have to like get three of your buddies together and order a pizza and then end up fighting because everybody was screen watching. You could just have the whole thing to yourself.
Exactly.
And they had some actual production firearms, and then they had some like fantastical stuff because with the plot of the game, there's this like alien influence and all that other stuff. I almost went with the railgun, which is the one that everybody hated. It was that version, it was that game's version of the noob tube where you were literally shooting people through walls and you were that asshole. But no, the one that just for whatever reason captured my attention was the Sentry laptop.
Yes, the Sentry laptop was always so much fun. You set that thing down, you just camp at a corner and
Yeah, like you would just hook it out into an area and it would do the work for, like, I don't even think it ever ran out of ammunition.
there was a timeout or something like that. I don't think
Yeah.
it had a mag capacity, but it had a timeout based on the amount of ammo I think you started with. But otherwise, that thing would just
So
gun
much
and
fun.
gun and gun and gun. It was, God,
That and then, you know, being
what a
able
great
to
game.
like stick proximity mines to people. That was also, but yeah, the Sentry laptop was just a work of art.
Wonderful. I remember the cloaking the d device. I remember the bots, hunting your last place if you had cloak and every fun game. Just hours and hours in that game.
Love to see them bring that one back.
Oh yeah. I'd love to see a remaster of that one. That'd be a lot of fun. A lot
Yeah.
of fun. All right, my third one. I'm going to jump back to where I accused Caleb of being the first episode that he was gone, and we're going to go into the Stargate universe, because that also popped up in another one of my friend groups earlier today, and we're going to discuss Stargate. And my favorite gun from the Stargate universe is actually the Beretta M9, because of the episode where O'Neill and the team go to one of the off worlds, and they encounter what are basically the Mongols or the Huns, and they try and keep Carter. They try and keep, I think it was Major Carter at the time. Don't think she was Colonel. They try and keep her. Might have even been Captain. I don't remember the season offhand. But they're like, "No, you powerful, strong woman, you are my wife now." And they have this whole, trial games and things like that where Carter tries to win her freedom, and ultimately she doesn't quite achieve it. And then at the very and they're like, "Yes, we get to keep Carter." The Mongols are going nuts. And then O'Neill's just like, And he draws his M9, fires it once in the air, and everyone goes, ah. And he then decocks it and like hands it to the guy. And he goes, "We good?" And the guy's like, Oh, yeah, we're good. We're good. Oh my God, I've never seen something this cool and powerful before. M9 forever." And then the closing scene is just him firing like a round off into the air, and the group cheering around him, and him firing a round off into the air, group cheering him around it. And O'Neill just real quick is like, "All right, we got to get going. He's only got like 8 shots left in that
Good one.
Uh,
That's a really good
so,
one.
so they
So
skedaddle with a gun that's about to be useless as trade, and
that's
that's
pretty
why the M9 is
fantastic.
my favorite, because I just love that. Like, here, play with this. This could be potentially a minor problem, but it solves my immediate problem, and it will be not a problem anymore very
There you
shortly."
go. Now the real question is, how many people have we pissed off because we didn't pick like the lawgiver? Or, you know, Starship Troopers, Aliens, Eraser, Blade Runner.
4041 or anything like that. So guys, with that, because I want to do a follow-up episode on this, because this could get very interesting depending on what you pick. Tell us what your favorite sci-fi or fantasy small arm is. Not like mechs, not starships or anything like that. Keep it to small arms. What are your favorite ones down in the comments? and we will pick those and we will do we'll pick those up and we will do another episode discussing, hopefully with Caleb back, because I know
It'll
he
be
may.
like a roast my rig kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, okay, what's your favorite one, and real briefly, why is it, and how it works? Like, why is it your favorite in sci-fi or fantasy? So give us that in the comments, let us know, and we'll do a follow-up episode here shortly on it. But that's all I've got for this week, guys. We will see you in the next episode.